Ricky Whitlow from Virgilina, Virginia, going to come preach for us at this time. You pray for him as he comes. Amen. Appreciate having you, preacher.
God bless you, preacher.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, brother. Amen. Good to see you this morning in the house of God. Amen. If you take your Bible and turn, we'll read just a verse or two as a text, and we'll pray, and you could be seated. Revelation chapter 1. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1. And I'm going to read just verse number 18 as a text today. We may come back and look at some of these other verses in just a moment. Verse number 18. This is, of course, our resurrected and glorified Lord speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos. John was on the Isle of Patmos. Of course, our Lord was speaking to him from glory. Amen.
Amen.
And he says here to John, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now, if Jesus says amen, it's all right for God's people to say
amen.
And have the keys of hell and of death. Our Father, Lord, today, we thank you for the mercy and the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God today, gathered with your people, Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray, God, you'd suit a blessing for every need. God, you know every heart, every life, every need. Lord, I pray, and we know, God, thou art able to supply every need. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless the Word of God today to our hearts as we study the Bible. I pray the Spirit of God would speak to us, Lord, and we as your people might be built up in the faith and encouraged in the things of God. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the last few days, Lord, to be here at Highland Ford Baptist Church and WSOF Radio, Lord, and how you have blessed above and beyond all that we could think or imagine. We thank you for that, Father. We praise your name for each one, Lord, that's had a part in any way and to any capacity. I pray thy blessings upon. Lord, I ask God you'd help us today to preach as we wish you to preach when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Here this morning, again, before we get into the message, I want to say I appreciate the Allen Ford Baptist Church and the privilege that I have to be here. Amen. I appreciate the faithful support of this church, of our ministry and life. Amen. Down through the years, I thank God for it. And I praise God for the faithfulness of Allen Ford Baptist Church down through the years. Amen. Not only faithful in our support, but faithful through the things of God. It's a blessing to come here. Amen. I enjoy coming. It's good to see old faces, and I don't mean necessarily elderly people. Amen. But it's good to see faces that we've known for a long time, and it's good to see the new faces. Good to see the faces of all the young people. Amen. Gathered around the house of God. Boy, that it just encourages my heart. Amen. To see that, and I thank God for it. Thank God for the young men. How many heard the young men singing on the radio yesterday? Amen. Amen. Almost had to hold a gun on them to get them to do it. Amen. No, I'm just joking. Amen. But they sung and done a wonderful job. Amen. Really did. And I appreciate that. It's a blessing. And others came around. Some ladies came around, young girls, and sung yesterday as well. Amen. On the radio live. Amen. They'll be wanting to get a bus and all that for long, probably. Amen. But we appreciate the young people here. Amen. And participating in the things of God, being concerned. Had one young man give a gift yesterday, 89 cents.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm talking about a little young fella giving up his bubble gum.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's whatever he might use, 89. I don't even, 89 cents to buy bubble gum now. Amen. But he gave up 89 cents, what he had.
Right.
Amen. And boy, that's all the Lord requires is what he's put in your hand. Amen. Whatever you have. He told Moses, what you got in your hand?
That's right.
Amen. He didn't have nothing but a stick. Amen. And the Lord turned it in. He said, throw it on the ground. And the Lord turned it into a serpent.
That's right.
And he said, pick it up. Amen. Moses had enough sense to pick it up by the tail.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. I don't think Moses was too much of a snake handler.
Right.
Amen. And we won't get on that this morning. Amen. But nevertheless, God uses what he puts in our hand.
That's
he puts
right.
it there to use it. For him, for the glory of God. And I appreciate all the faithfulness of God's people at Island Ford Baptist Church down through the years. Amen. And trust we'll be that way till Jesus comes. Amen. Now that may be today. Amen. Jesus may come today. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. And just let the hurricane blow. Amen. We'll just go right on out. Amen. And be with our Lord. Amen. Meet Him in the air, way above the hurricane. Amen. And rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved in the grace of God. Here in verse number 18 of Revelation, I want to read that verse again and take as a text. I am He that liveth, Jesus said, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That means there'll be no more Calvaries. There'll be no more death. Amen. For our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And Jesus said, amen. Praise God. I think about when I hear our Lord say amen, I think about perhaps He was thinking about the Garden of Gethsemane before He's crucified. And He prayed, Lord, this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Amen. And I believe the cup He was speaking of is the God the Father turning His back on the Son when He became sin and being separated from God, if you please. Amen. And He prayed for that cup to be passed from Him. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. The Bible said His sweat became as great drops of blood in that garden. As He prayed, the Bible said in a great agony, our Lord prayed. He was praying about you. He was praying about me, bearing our sins in His body on the tree. Amen. Calvary, we can say the word. By the way, the word Calvary is only mentioned one time in your Bible. We can talk about the cross. We can talk about Christ dying. And we can say it so fast that we don't really grasp and let it sink in all that our Lord went through on the cross of Calvary. The agony and suffering, it was real. The pain, the agony. Physically, it was real. It's spiritually in their heart, it was real. And how Satan buffeted Him on the cross of Calvary. And so when He says to John here, after Calvary, after the burial, after the resurrection, after 40 days upon this earth, after His ascension, there in glory, seated on the right hand of the Father, Jesus says, I am He that was alive. And I was dead. No truth to the idea that our Lord swooned and He really wasn't, didn't really die on the cross, and they put Him in the cool and damp tomb there in the rock, and it finally revived Him and refreshed Him, and He really wasn't dead at all. He just kind of came back to out of a coma or something of that nature. That's tommy rotten foolishness. Amen. Our Lord died on the cross of Calvary. He was so dead that two Roman soldiers said they marveled when they came out to break His legs that He may hasten His death. He marveled that He was already dead. Amen. He was dead. Died as a substitute and a sacrifice for our sin on the cross of Calvary, was buried, dead, buried in the cross, on the grave there, Joseph's grave, tomb there. And there He laid for 3 days and 3 nights. And finally the angel came and rolled the stone away, not to let Him out. He was already gone. Amen. The angel said, why seek you the living among the dead? Amen. Praise God. Jesus is alive. Amen. That's what He's talking about here. Amen. I'm He that was alive and I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. There'll be no more sacrifice. There'll be no bearing of the sins any longer. I paid the price in full. And He said, amen. Praise God. God's people ought to say amen. Word amen means let it be. As Thou hast said, amen, let the facts remain that Christ has died for our sins. Amen. He said amen. And not only that, He said, and have the keys of hell and death. Amen. Jesus has the keys of hell and death. Amen. And I want to preach this morning as God will help me this morning. And I promise you, by the grace of God, I'll not keep you long. Amen. I understand things are in the back ready to eat. Amen. And I hope they got the door shut or something, amen, so the aroma won't get this way. Amen. It's hard to preach to Baptist folk when they can smell chicken and stuff like that. Amen. Praise God. But I want to preach on because He lives. Because Jesus is alive. We live in a world today that doesn't believe that Jesus is alive. That He's just an historical figure. Just someone that lived sometime back, a good man, no doubt they would agree, a great teacher, done many wonderful things in his miracles and all that he did to help the human family. But Jesus is just a man that lived and died and is no more. But friend, you and I that are saved in the grace of God, we know that not to be so. Amen. Jesus Christ is alive and He is alive. Amen. And really, I believe it, and I'm not critical of this as such, but I believe in this day and hour in which we live, we need to identify the God we worship. Right. We worship Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Well, we just don't want to talk about in general terms of worshiping God. See, that's what the Muslim, he worships Allah, and that's their word for God. Right. Amen. And they put it all in the same box. Amen. But our God's the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus of Nazareth. We worship the Jesus of this Bible. Amen. The one that was born of a virgin there in Bethlehem. Amen. Walked and lived by the Sea of Galilee. Amen. We worship Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's who we worship. Amen. He's my God. And that's who this Bible's talking about here. Amen. And because He lives, some things that are now real and beneficial to you and I that are saved in the grace of God because Jesus Christ is still alive. But if you go back to verse number 9, I want to say just a few words by way of introduction to our text. In verse number 9, it says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here we find the beloved Apostle Paul, the tender brother Paul, John, amen. And he's the one that laid his head on the bosom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was really the apostle of love, amen. And wrote the apostle of John, amen, the gospel of John. He penned that inspired of God. He penned down 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John written by this man. Inspired of God, of course. And then the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave it to John. But here he is. He identifies himself. I, John, who is your brother. Amen. He's our brother. And he's our companion in tribulation. And in the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is on the Isle of Patmos. And he's on the Isle of Patmos not because he's taken a vacation. He's on the Isle of Patmos because of the persecution.
Right.
Amen. Because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and because of the Word of God. Yeah. You know, we have some that give the idea today in the religious world that if you serve Jesus, if you know the Lord and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will just be peaches and cream all through life and everything just will be wonderful. But friend, that's not always so. You with me? There are tribulations. There are persecutions. And here John is on the Isle of Patmos. And history tells us that John is there having been boiled in oil. Boiled in a... Can you imagine a big stew pot there filled with oil and placing a human being in that oil, boiled in oil? Can you imagine what he looked like on the Isle of Patmos? His body, the blisters, the sores, and the great agony he must be in. He's taken to the Isle of Patmos and left there abandoned. History tells us that little to nobody lived on the Isle of Patmos. Nothing but wild beasts. And there he's left to die because of his preaching. Because of his testimony. Because he would not compromise. Because he would not step back from the Word of God. Because he believed in Jesus Christ. And he believed that indeed he was born of a virgin. Indeed he did die, amen, for our sins. Indeed he did resurrect, amen. Because of that, they persecuted him as well as others in that day. Left him on the Isle of Patmos to die. Can you imagine such a situation? As far as we know, he is, humanly speaking, by himself. He has nobody. Keep in mind, he's boiled in oil. Amen. Can you imagine how he must feel physically, how he must look? Much like Job that had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Amen. How many of you have ever had a boil? You've ever had a boil. Amen. I've had a boil. Amen. Now, you never had a boil. Don't ever use the cliche, something as sore as a boil, because you don't know what you're talking about. If you had a boil, you understand. Amen. I mean sore. You know what being a sore spot is. Amen. If you've had a boil. Job was that way, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Here John, history tells us, boil and all, the blisters, the burns, the severity of his flesh. And there he's left abandoned on the Isle of Patmos. And he's left there with no one to help him. With no food to sustain him, as far as we know. He had nobody to prepare or gather anything growing in the wild that may have been used to sustain him. He had nothing. He was left there to die, abandoned by man. And as far as they were concerned, abandoned to die. And there he is. And watch what he says. Verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And we have people today that come to church sometimes and they stump the toe. And boy, they hardly can speak to anybody when they get to church. I've got it so bad. Do you really? Do we really have it so bad? Amen. Here, John said, I was in the Spirit. Notice a capital S there. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, John, humanly speaking, as far as he knows it, he's been abandoned on this island. He's by himself. Nobody else there. But on the Lord's day, he heard a voice. Amen. On the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. He heard a great voice, not just a voice, but a great voice behind me speaking in verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And he says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. He's left to be alone, to die, here on this island, but he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he hears a great voice behind. Amen. And the great voice said, I'm Alpha and Omega. And what he's telling John, I beat you to this island. Amen. And I don't know where your island of persecution or oppression of the devil may be, but I'm telling you, God's beat you to that place. And God's able to help you. God's able to bless you. The world said, we'll throw this witness away. We'll throw John away. We're tired of all that he's saying. And he's persistent of his preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll abandon him and get rid of him. But they throwed him on the Isle of Patmos. And lo and behold, his God was already on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. And his God showed up on the Lord's day and said, what you hear, write in the book. Not God's through with him. No, he's got a book to write. Amen. He has work to do. And though he's boiled and all, and health is bad, it seems, and everything is adverse. No food, no sustainment, no way that he can take care of himself. But God said, I've got plans for you. Amen. Can I say to you that God's got plans for you? Amen. At Island Ford Baptist Church, God's got plans for you. Can I say that God's got plans for WSOF Radio? Amen. I am Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end and everything in between. And I've got plans for my church. Amen. Got plans, amen. And he told him to write what you see. And he said, write it. And he's going to send it to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he names these churches in verse number 12. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And if you would read on down in the verse number 20, he talks about, explains the mystery of the stars that was in his hand. He's going to mention a little bit later. And these seven golden candlesticks of the seven churches. Amen. He heard the voice of God in the churches. Right. You listen to me? Amen. He heard the voice of God in those seven local churches. That's where the voice of God was coming from. Right. Are you listening to me? Amen. You bypass the local church and you bypass God.
You're right.
Amen. It's not, it was talking about our brother that got saved on the airplane. God save anybody anywhere. Amen. But everybody He saves, He will bring them to the local church. Amen. I don't care where you say. I was saved in the tent meeting. Amen. But the local church was meeting there, sponsored by a local church, and they were there. And God saved me from a life of sin and brought me into the local church. Amen. And God speaks to our heart. Amen. How many believe God still speaks? Amen. John's not the only one who's heard His voice. Amen. He speaks. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Amen. And a stranger, they'll not follow. What about that? Now, that's commentary on a lot of folks today. Amen. A stranger, they'll not follow. Amen. If you hear the voice of God. But here He turns and He sees this. I think that terminology is a little bit strange to me. In verse 12, He said, "I turned to see the voice that spake to me." We normally would say we turn to see the person. See who's speaking to me. But the Bible says He turned to see the voice. Amen. That's speaking to me. Amen. He wanted to see the voice. And being turned, He said, "I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man."
Amen.
You know, I've always marveled and wondered at this. There in the book of Daniel, how that Nebuchadnezzar threw the Hebrew children into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it consumed those that were commissioned to put them in the fire. They died. But it threw them into the fire and they were walking around. And the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he saw four men. And he said, "One looks like the Son of God."
That's right.
Amen. How in the world did he know what the Son of God looked like? Amen. Amen. He knew there was one didn't look like them other three.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And here John says, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. And that brass speaks of judgment. As if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and his feet like in a fine brass. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And I thought about, as our brother was teaching Sunday school, about the sun and the power and the intense heat, amen, of the sun. And how you can't live close to the sun, amen. Thank God we live on earth this far away from the sun, amen. And it says in the tribulation period that the heat, the sun, is going to scorch me, and amen. Maybe the earth's going to get a little closer to the sun, amen. Physical sun there. I don't know what he'll do, but he will intensify the heat here. And I thought about here as a text, amen. Of course, he didn't know what I was preaching on, and I had no idea what he's teaching on. But I talk about light that shineth. Note what he said again, verse 16. Said he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Amen.
His countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength,
amen,
in its intensity, in its power, in its brightness, amen, was as a sign. And I thought about this, amen. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, amen. And He is the light of the world, amen. And He shined the light of the glorious gospel into our heart, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. The light shineth, amen. And the darkness comprehended it not. The light shineth. And God's never turned on the light but one time. Amen. He turned it on and it's never went off.
Amen.
And the physical light as well as the spiritual light. The light, the truth of the gospel, the illuminating power of the Spirit of God has been turned on.
Amen.
You with me? Has never been turned off.
Amen.
Sometimes we use the terminology, God turned the light on me. No. If we use that as He turned it on, not as He flipped the switch on and shined. The light's always shining. He just directs it.
That's right.
Amen. The light shine all the time. And because people live in darkness, doesn't mean the light's not shining. You with me? Light's shining. Amen. It shines bright in our heart. Amen. They're saved by the grace of God. And though multitudes live in darkness, multitudes without God and without hope in the world, headed to a devil's hell, that doesn't mean that God's light's not shining. But it means that they have not availed themselves of the light of God. It's always shining bright as it's ever shined. Amen. The gospel has not become darkened. The gospel has not lost its power or its appeal. Amen. People just need to hear the Word of God. Amen. And be exposed to the Word of God. I believe God's the same God as He's always been.
Amen.
I believe I read in the Bible where Jesus said, I am the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Amen. I read in the Bible, I believe that God said, I am your Lord God, and therefore you sons of Jacob will not be consumed. But He said, I change not.
Right.
Change not. Amen. There is no variableness in our God. Amen. Right. What He all has been, He still is.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. And more than we could even imagine, amen, is the power of God. But the light shines. He shines there as the sun in the brightness of His strength and all of His power and all of His glory. There He's shining and His feet is like polished brass and refined brass. Judgment, the judgment of God is going to be precise and exact, and it will grind to powder those that have rejected Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right.
Now that's a note that the world don't like to hear much about.
Right.
Religion don't like to hear much about. But God's judgment is coming.
Yes, sir.
God's judgment is coming. Amen. And the Bible says, and God knoweth them that are His.
Right.
And if God knows who are His, He knows who is not His.
Right.
Amen. And God will mete out His judgment exactly.
That's
correct.
Right.
Amen. What God does will be exactly
right.
Right. Amen. And none shall escape it except those in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 17. And when I saw him, said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. And though his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength, though his feet were as fine brass, polished brass in the furnace of the earth. When John saw him, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. Didn't say he was dead, but as dead. He humbled himself. Fell in submission to the Lord. The Bible said he laid his right hand upon me. And that word laid, he laid. He didn't strike John. But he laid his hand of power, his right hand. Of power upon John. He tenderly laid his hand upon John. John, having received the brunt of the persecution and punishment of man, John has been one that has been bearing the reproach of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes upon him in the bitterness of this reproach that he has bore. And the one that he's bearing the reproach for lays his hand of power gently and tenderly upon him and says, fear not.
That's right.
Amen. Fear not. Amen. Jesus said in his ministry, he said, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear not him that can destroy the body. But fear him that can destroy both the body and the soul in hellfire. He says to John, fear not. Fear not. Amen. This thing's not over. Amen. Fear not. Amen. Fear not what men shall do unto thee.
Right.
Fear not. And he laid his hand of power and strength and blessing and edification upon him. And he says to John, fear not. I am the first and the last. He's assuring John of his testimony.
Right.
He's assuring John, though he suffered adversely in his stand for God. But he's assuring John that you've gone the right way. You've taken the right stand. Amen. Whether the $45,000 has come in or whether the $100 has come in, you've done the right thing by standing for God. Amen. And God wants to encourage His people. Bless His people. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Three things I want to mention this morning. Because He lives. Because Jesus Christ is alive today. And He is alive.
Yes.
Amen. I feel sorry for folks that wear a crucifix around their neck. Amen. Jesus is not on the cross. Amen. Amen. And He's not in the empty tomb. I mean, in the tomb. He's out of there. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Jesus is alive. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living, risen Lord, amen, with all power, amen, and all glory. Jesus is alive. Three things I want to mention that are facts to us because Jesus is alive. And if He wasn't alive, if this would be null and void, would not be true, what I'm going to mention today. Because He's alive, number one, redemption is possible for every person that ever lived. Redemption is made available and possible for everybody. And I'm not going to labor long here, but this word redemption, redeemed, amen, that's the New Testament term. That's the term of you and I that are saved by the grace of God. My sins are not atoned for. You with me? I have been redeemed. Amen. The full purchase price has been paid. Amen. My sins have not been covered over. My sins are gone. You with me? Amen. Your sins, God said, your sins and iniquity, I will remember no more. When it comes to the child of God in salvation, God Almighty has amnesia when it comes to my sin. I'll remember no more, He said. He doesn't see me as a sinner. He doesn't see you as a sinner anymore if you're saved in the grace of God. He sees you as a saint of God. He sees you as a child of God. He sees you in the household of faith and fellow heirs of the saints of God in the glory of God. He sees us seated together in heavenly places. Amen. He sees us in Christ and not in ourselves. We have been redeemed. Amen. The word atonement's only mentioned one time in the Bible, Romans chapter number 5. And that is mentioned in connection to reconciliation, how He has brought us unto Himself. Yeah. Amen. The word in the New Testament is redemption. I've been redeemed. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that Jesus Christ with His own blood entered in once into the Holy of Holies. Talking about the one up in heaven.
Right.
The real Holy of Holies.
Right.
Entered in once with His own blood. To obtain what? Eternal redemption for us, amen, that are saved by the grace of God. We have eternal, not part-time. Amen. I'm not saved as long as I behave myself. Now, by the grace of God, I want to behave myself, except when I get around some people, amen. 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 Lord, help us. Amen. But we're not saved because we have good conduct.
Right.
We're not saved because we have given a sum of money
right.
to the work of God. Amen. As we heard the testimony today, and I'll not get too deep into this, but the young man that's just gotten saved, amen, you grew up in the house of God, grew up in the godly family, and could quote the scriptures, I understand, and won awards, I'm sure, through school and things like that, of quoting the Bible and doing all kinds of things, and probably all through those years. Nobody would ever imagine that young man wasn't saved, but he wasn't.
Right.
You can quote the Bible and go to hell.
Amen.
You can sing wonderfully with a great, talented voice and die and go to, and I mean sing gospel songs beautifully and wind up in hell. We're not saved by what we do or can do or our conduct. We're saved by the eternal blood of Jesus Christ that has purchased eternal redemption for us. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 20 that God purchased the church with His own blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you, Jesus here, when He makes this statement, is on this side of Calvary. His blood has been shed, and it's God's blood that flowed in the veins of Jesus Christ. Not human blood, but God's blood that flowed in the veins of the Son of God. And He shed that blood. It wasn't spilt at Calvary. It was shed on purpose. At Calvary, the Bible says that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. In Isaiah 53, that God was pleased with the sacrifice. And the only reason that we have redemption today, that what Christ did on the cross of Calvary pleased God for my sin and your sin. Amen. And what He's saying here, that because of my death on the cross and my resurrection, I was alive. I was dead. I died as a sacrifice and a substitute because of my death of shedding the blood of Jesus Christ and my resurrection. And I'm alive forevermore. Because of that, you have redemption.
Amen.
And Jesus said, amen.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus loves everybody.
Yes.
He wants to save everybody. Amen. Nothing delights the heart of God anymore than when a sinner turns to Jesus Christ and accepts the sacrifice He made at the cross of Calvary. Amen. And He rejoices in that. There's rejoicing in heaven over one that repents. Amen. Believes the gospel. Redemption is available through the blood of Jesus Christ because He lives. Had Jesus died and been buried and been in the ground as John the Beloved died and he was buried somewhere and his remains are yet still in the ground, had Jesus been the same as John, we'd have no redemption.
That's right.
But because He lives. Amen. Because He rose from the dead and is alive forevermore, we have redemption. Number two, turn if you will to Acts chapter number two. Acts chapter number two. I want to see these verses here, Acts 2, and I want to look at beginning verse number 32, just a couple of verses here. Verse 32, the Bible says, "This Jesus," this is Peter speaking, the day of Pentecost, "this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received," watch this now, "and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He," speaking of Jesus, "has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Because He arose, because He's alive, because Jesus Christ is alive, we have redemption available to all. Anybody can be saved. If you're here today lost, you can be saved today if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to save you today if you'll come to Him. But I say to you secondly this morning that because He lives, because He resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father, we have the Holy Ghost of God in our heart today. We are saved in the grace of God. Had He not resurrected, can I say this to you? And I don't have time, won't get too much into this, but primarily speaking, there are only two promises in the Word of God. God has made two promises to the human family. Every other promise can be put under these two promises. God's made many promises. Understand? But these promises are put under these two. Number one, He promised to send the Messiah, the Christ of God.
Amen.
You with me? That was the paramount promise of the Old Testament. To send the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah is coming. Amen. And when He comes, He'd die for our sin and pay the price for our sin. God promised the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could go back to Genesis 3:15 and from there follow all the way through the Old Testament. The promise, God made a promise that the seed of the woman would come. And when He comes, his heel would be bruised, but He shall bruise the head of Satan. Amen. And that promise of a coming Redeemer, a coming one, He made that promise. Then after Jesus came, and after He died on the cross of Calvary, after He resurrected, after His 40 days of here teaching His disciples, and then He ascended up to heaven. You see that there in the early part of Acts chapter 1. He ascended up to heaven. Amen. The cloud received Him up into glory. And now He sits on the right hand of the Father. And He says, back in Acts 1, just a page or so back in your Bible, Acts 1, look at it for time's sake. Let's look at verse number 4. "And being assembled together with them," that is Jesus assembled together with the disciples in the upper room, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the," watch this, "the promise of the Father." This is the second promise of the Father. "Which saith ye, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This is the promise of the Father. He said, "You tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father come." And that promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Amen. And then it says in our scripture we were reading over in verse number 33 of chapter number 2, "Therefore being by the right hand of God," speaking of Jesus, "exalted and having received," watch this, "Jesus, having received of the Father," Jesus received of the Father, "the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear." He, Jesus, received the promise of the Father. And he bestowed the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I'm talking about, bestowed the Holy Ghost upon his disciples on the day of Pentecost. And then thus upon us that are saved by the grace of God. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God the moment you got saved. You need not come around the altar somewhere and tarry and beg and plead and cry and beat the altar and beg for the Spirit of God. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he sheds abroad his Spirit into your heart. The second promise of God. And can I say to you, this verse, and I must hurry, there in Psalm 118, don't turn there, I'm not going to go there. But Psalm 118, this verse is often quoted, and I'm not criticizing, it's good. This is the day the Lord hath made. Said we will rejoice and be glad in it. We use that oft times of any day that might be, amen, by application. And I say that by application. That verse can be applied to any day. It's a day the Lord has allowed to be in existence. And we're going to rejoice and praise God in it. That's by application. But the interpretation of that verse is not about just any day that the Lord has made. If you'll go back and look at it. Amen. It says, enter into the gate. And that gate's the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, whom he had sent, amen, whom the powers that be, amen, that the seed of Israel had rejected, amen, the stone that they rejected, speaking about Jesus Christ, has become the head of the corner. Amen. And he says, well, we are glad and we marvel at what God's done. Talking of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Whereof we are glad and will rejoice in that day. The day that God longed for from whenever, as our brother was teaching this morning in creation, from the first day whenever God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. When God created the first day, the day that he longed for was the day would come when Jesus Christ, his Son, would die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, resurrect victorious over death, hell, and the grave, come back to heaven, sit on the throne, receive the promise of the Father, of the Holy Ghost, and he could be shed abroad on every believer. Now God can live in the heart of every man. That's the day that God longed for. The day that he could get in your heart. The day that he could dwell in us. Amen. He is not some distance God, but he's a very present. If you listen to me, amen, I need not find an altar somewhere and a high priest somewhere and an offering somewhere and try to go in and make atonement for my sins. Friend, I've been redeemed by the grace of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, the God of heaven, lives in our heart. Amen. I say to you, if he wasn't alive, we couldn't have the Holy Ghost. If he wasn't alive, if his redemption that he paid for was insufficient, we yet still could not have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, said this is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today, in this hour, amen, this time, now, on this side of the cross, our God has been longing and waiting and bringing things to pass that the day would come our sins were paid for. And we trusted Christ. And he, through the Spirit of God, could get in us. And he shed, as he said here, he shed this on the shed abroad. This, amen, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. They went away preaching the gospel. Amen. The Spirit of God is in us. Amen. And he's in us for the purpose of causing us to be a witness unto Christ. Amen. Find that in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, tarry for the promise of the Father, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's going to baptize you in the body of Christ. Amen. You with me? If you're studying the book of Corinthians, you'll find that the apostles were first placed in the body of Christ. Amen. To the church. Amen. The apostles first in this upper room. Amen. And then when you read on there, and it talks about 3,000 were added unto them. Amen. It was added to that 120 that had already been baptized in the body of Christ. You listen to me? Amen. It was added to them. Amen. And I've been added to that same body. You've been added. If you're saved, you've been by the Spirit of God placed in that same body. The church, the born again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You with me? And when the Lord said, as he taught, was instructing him in chapter 1, said, tarry here in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. For when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. He said, tarry, you shall be a witness unto me. You'll be a testimony unto Jesus. You're going to be a testimony to the power and ability of Jesus Christ to save a sinner and make you a brand new creature and be a testimony for God. That's what it's not talking about. You're just going to go out and pass out tracts and talk about Jesus. That's not a witness. Are you listening to me? He's talking, that may be involved in it. That's not what he's talking about. I've known a lot of people that went out and passed out tracts that wasn't saved. Are you with me? But he says, you that are saved are going to have the Holy Ghost in you. And when the Spirit of God gets in, you will be. You shall be. Amen. That means it cannot be otherwise. Amen. God said, the Holy Ghost is in you. Ye shall be a witness unto me, unto Jesus Christ, unto the redemption that He's purchased, unto the power of God in your life, unto a changed life, to the glory of God. Your life will reflect the glory of God. Once you get saved, the Spirit of God gets in you. That's why He's in us, amen, to make us a witness unto Jesus Christ, amen. All that we are, all that we say, all that we are, our life that's lived, God help us, ought to be lived and should be lived to the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything about us should point people to Jesus Christ, amen. Matter of fact, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And thereby glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not when they see your good works, talk about how great you are. Talk about how much discipline you've got in your life. Amen. Not talk about and exalt yourself. Yeah, we do different from everybody else. No, he said you give glory to God. Amen. The only reason you're not cussing, drinking liquor today and living like the devil is because of him. Amen. Because only reason you're not out yonder. Somewhere today on a golf course playing golf on Sunday morning, it's because of Him. Amen. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of Him. And we're to be a witness unto Him. He is why we are like we are. In love with Jesus Christ. In love with the Son of God. In love with the things of God. And that's why we become dogmatic about some things. Amen. About the Word of God. Amen. Don't monkey with my Bible. Amen. Amen. We're dogmatic about this King James Bible. Amen. We don't like folks coming around talking about discrediting the Word of God. Amen. We won't tolerate that. Amen. I'm going to put up with it. Amen. If I ride down the highway traveling from meeting to meeting, place to place, and I spin the dial many times on the radio station, and I pick up somebody and I hear him, I say, I want to see what this guy's got to say. And first thing you know, he's quoting a verse and it's not my Bible. It's not the King James Bible. I flipped the dial. I'm not going to listen to that devil preach to me. Come on, talk to me. You got to preach to me the Bible if you're going to preach to me. Amen. You got to believe the Bible and stand on that. We become dogmatic about the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? The Holy Ghost is in us. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. And He is a witness unto Christ. And so are we. Amen. Because of the Spirit of God. I'm saying to you, because He lives. He has received the promise of the Father. And He has given us the Spirit of God. We could go to Ephesians chapter 4 and talking about our resurrected Lord. Led captivity captive. Amen. And He gave gifts. He gave gifts unto men. Amen. Through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And He goes on and tells us ministering gifts. By the way, there's no such thing as a priest, a ministering priest in the New Testament church. Amen. It's not a gift. Amen. The priesthood is over with. Amen. Done for. Amen. There's no priest, amen, anymore, other than all of God's people. We're a royal priesthood. We can approach God, amen, ourselves in Christ, amen. We need no priest to confess anything to in a knot hole. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's all man-made, amen. And it's wrong, amen. No such thing, amen, as that today in the New Testament church. But we have the Holy Spirit, amen. And the Spirit of God is the one that inspired this book, is the author of the Bible. Amen. The Bible had many writers, but only one author. Amen. And when you have the author of the Bible living in you, you begin to behold wondrous things out of this book. Amen. You begin to learn things and you begin, it becomes convictions to you. You with me? Amen. As you read this Bible and study and understand and compare Scripture with Scripture, you begin to grow and develop convictions about the Bible says this, and we take our stand in this unbelieving world on the Bible. The Word of God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is in us. He leads that way. You have an unction from the Holy One. Amen? And the Bible says you understandeth all things. Doesn't mean you're a smart aleck, but means that the Spirit of God inside you understands that and teaches you.
That's right.
Amen? To grasp and understand truth. And we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'd probably have revival in the house of God if the saints of God would really get serious about growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say lastly, look if you will, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 14, 15, and 16, familiar verses. Because He lives, we have a great high priest. Verse number 14, seeing then that we have, not we're going to have, but we have, present tense, a great high priest. Amen. That is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have an high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because He lives, He has turned the throne into a throne of grace indeed.
Amen.
Amen. We do not come before a throne of judgment.
Right.
We become before, we. I'm talking about you and I the same. We come before a throne of God's grace.
Amen.
And our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is passed into the heavens, sits upon that throne. And He can feel our infirmities. He feels what you feel.
Right.
Amen. One of the biggest lies the devil will ever tell you is that you're all alone. Nobody else goes through what you go. Nobody understands what you have to face. That's a lie of the devil.
Right.
When he speaketh a lie. Amen. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God knows the feelings. God knows the burden. God understands our tears. God understands your discouragement. And God understands sometimes baffled at maybe what happens in a life. We don't understand what all is going on. You ever been there?
Yes,
you've been there when things are happening. You couldn't put the puzzle together. What is God doing in our life? Where is God leading? What is happening? Amen. And I do, and there's already been made reference, I believe, sometimes since I've been here, about maybe on a marathon or somewhere. But there's times like Job. He said, I looked on my left and I couldn't find Him. He said, I looked on my right, I couldn't find God. He said, I looked in front of me, and I couldn't see Him. I looked behind me, and I couldn't see or detect God in His hand and His direction. But He said, nevertheless, and that word nevertheless means, in spite of the fact that I don't know where He is, and I don't know what He's doing, He knoweth the way that I take.
Amen.
He knows where I am.
Yes,
you may lose track of Him on your radar screen. You listen to me? You may lose track of what God's doing and how God's working in on your radar screen. You can't discern what He's doing. But friend, rest assured, find confidence in this, that God will never lose you on His radar screen. God knows where we are. Whether we're in the sick bed, it matters not where we are, what may happen in our life. God knows where we are, and He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When we can't go and do what we have went and done. God understands that. God knows that. Amen. What a God we have. He's not just a Savior from sin. He is our High Priest. He is my God. He is my Lord. He understands my frame. Knows that we are but dust. And He's able to strengthen us. He's able to sustain us. Amen. Boy, how many have ever been to the place, and I'm sure many, maybe all, been to the place where you thought, boy, I'll never get over this. I'll never get through this. The old devil come, get on your shoulder and whisper to you, you're done for. You're washed up and done for. You're supposed to throw it all away. You've done it now. You've had it. You've had it. You've gone too far. This has happened. That's happened. You're done for. And friend, if you listen to him, you begin to understand and believe him.
Right.
You begin to think, devil's telling you the truth. I believe I am done for.
Yep.
Hey, I'm done for. It's all over with. Amen. But friend, just as sure as you're saved in the grace of God, the blessed Holy Ghost will be dispatched, amen, with a message from the throne room. You tell that child, you tell our son, you tell my daughter, amen, that I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. Amen. I've been it all. I understand. I'll sustain you. I'll bless you. I'll help you. Amen. When the devil says you can't, God says I can.
Amen.
God does. What a God we have. We got a wonderful, Wonderful Lord. Amen. And all that's because He lives. We serve a living God, not a dead God. Amen. This is not just about a theology class. Amen. This is not just about the lessons of theology. This is about a living God. Amen. That's real. Amen. As real as air you breathe it. Amen. He's interested in everything that touches your life, God's interested in. Everything that touches your life, God's got a word of instruction and comfort about it in the Word of God. God's got every facet of your life. I don't care what it is. Amen. As this brother was talking about, this preacher with his son was wavering. I can understand that. God understands. God knows. God knows. You know how He knows? Because He's had a lot of wayward children. You listen to me? Amen. That parable there, the prodigal son, we call him. Amen. Took his goods and went off into a far country. Amen. Do you think he went there because he had a bad father?
No.
Come on, talk to me. Do you think your son went bad because it's a bad family?
No.
No, my friend. Son went bad because he was a rebel. He's responsible for his own actions. Amen. And he rebelled against his father. Amen. But when he turned in the hog pen and said, I'm going back. When he started up that road, he ran into a father that was running to him. I'm telling you, God didn't sell it for him. God didn't throw the goodness of God away. He waited for that repentant son to come. I'm telling you, he understands. He understands. He knows where you're at. He knows the burden that you bear. He knows the tears in the midnight that you cry. He knows all about that. And He's able to sustain you. He's able to strengthen you that you might be through it all, be a witness unto Jesus that God's not only the God of the day, but He's God at nighttime. He's not only the God of a mountain when things are going wonderful. He's God down in that valley when we cry and when we don't know what to do and we don't know how to affect the things we want to see done. God understands. Because He lives. We've got a great high priest. Come boldly. Amen. Come boldly. That means I can come. Don't have to be a special person to come. Amen. Don't have to have special gifts. You say, that's for the preacher. No, it's for the children of God.
That's right.
And come. You say, well, I don't have any money. You don't need any.
That's right.
Amen. All you've got to have is you.
Right.
With all of the baggage that's you.
That's
with all the issues of your life. Bring them to Him.
Yes.
The Bible said, the throne of mercy, throne of grace, we can find mercy. Mercy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God's not up there with a stick in His hand wanting to beat you. God wants to express mercy.
Amen.
Mercy. Mercy to you and I. And we can find grace to help.
Right.
In the time of need. We can find the wisdom that we need to know the will of God. We can find the strength to stand.
Amen.
On the Word of God in the midst of all the trials.
Right.
Even as John boiling oil. We can find the grace to be in the Spirit on Lord's Day. We can hear the voice of God. We can allow God to strengthen, to bless us as He longs to do if we learn to avail ourselves of our great high priest. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed this morning. So get ready for an invitation song. I don't know your need today. I don't know your address. I don't know where you live. But I know one that does.
Yes, Amen.
God knows who you are. God knows all the trials, all the burdens. God's even aware of the lies the devil's told you about Him. And He stands today with outstretched arms. And He says, come. Come to the throne. Come and I'll have mercy on you. If today you've walked away from God and been out in the world, come confess your sins. He's faithful. He's just to forgive you. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of reclaiming and blessing. If your heart's grown cold, if it's come to a place, it's been a long time since you really talked with Him. Oh, my soul He'll restore you. He'll warm your heart to Him again. Oh yes, my friend, He will revive us again if we'll trust Him, if we'll come to Him, if we'll pour our hearts out to Him. He's able to give grace to help in the time of need. You're here today and you're unsaved. I want to say to you today that Jesus Christ has paid it all for you. If you'll trust Him, if you'll just come and in repentant heart, believe what Christ has done for you. Receive Him. Receive what He's done by faith. He'll save you. He'll lift that burden of sin. He'll give you the peace of God. He'll give you the joy of God. And you'll begin to know a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you'll find that it's real. Knowing Christ is real. And it's for you. Our Father today, as we bow in Your presence, we thank You, Lord, for our wonderful Lord and Savior. Lord, we're so unworthy. We thank You. Thank You for Your faithfulness. When we are unfaithful, You are yet still faithful. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your compassion, Your tenderness. Lord, I pray You bless today. Give glory to Yourself in Christ's name.